early in the morning, the Bible said, and he prayed. Now, Jesus had such success because he always knew the mind of God. And if we want to have revival, we'll only have real revival God's way. Now, you can put together a congregation of people if you have enough charisma and have enough of a good program and have enough talent, have enough money. All of those things, you can build a large congregation of people. And it might even be an exciting place. Amen. The football stadium's an exciting place. Basketball arena's an exciting place. A baseball diamond can be an exciting place. Church can be an exciting place, even without being in the will of God. But tonight it's vital that we find and do the will of God. In these scriptures, I suppose you notice that it talks, first of all, about building a house. Then it talks about keeping the city. And then it talks about work. And then it talks about the family. And each of these things, it repeats the same thing and is under the same heading, except the Lord builds it, it will be in vain. Amen. So that's especially true tonight when it comes to the church, isn't it? Amen. It's especially true when it comes to the church. And except the Lord is building it. Now I want you to know tonight, God is interested in building His church. As a matter of fact, He told us way back in the book of Matthew, He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. First of all, he said, I am the builder. Amen. Praise God. Not Pastor Grissom is not the builder. Amen. No other preacher is the builder. No person is the builder. No evangelist is the builder. He said, I am the builder. And he says, I'm going to build it on a rock. Amen. Praise God. Could I say it one more time? If you're hanging on to a rope tonight, it's time to let go. Somebody said, oh, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. That's maybe good worldly philosophy, but that's not good Christian philosophy. Jesus didn't say anything about building His church on a rope. He didn't say anything about leaving people hanging. He gave us a solid foundation. He gave us a sure foundation. You can stand on it. It'll be there when the storm comes. And when the storm passes, the rock will remain. Hallelujah. No matter how strong the winds, no matter how lashing the rain, it's going to abide because God built His church on a solid foundation. Amen. Some folks have been hurt in church. Isn't that sad? But it's true. And I'm sorry about that. There have been churches that have dissolved, and I'm sorry about that. Amen. But don't blame it on him. Amen. You can build a church that's not built on his rock. Let me say that again. You can build a church that's not built on a rock. Amen. We've got to make sure that Jesus Christ is the foundation. Amen. Praise God. This church is called United Pentecostal Church. That's the name of our organization, and I think it's a good name. I have no problem with our name. Amen. But that's just the name of our organization. Amen. Our foundation is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Brother Knight down in Kite down in Victoria, he calls his church the Jesus Church. That's probably a good name. Amen. That's what we want tonight, is we've got to have the foundation in Jesus Christ. Except the Lord builds the house. Except the Lord builds the house. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now I want to stop there just a minute. I believe that means more than the New Jerusalem. And I believe that means more than what we call heaven. I believe what he was really talking about there, just as well as those eternal abodes that someday we'll inhabit, he was also talking about a spiritual place. Because the book of Ephesians says that we are made to sit in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Anybody sat in any heavenly places lately? Amen. I think Sunday night we had some folks sitting in some heavenly places. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can get in a prayer meeting all by yourself and you can sit in some heavenly places. Anybody ever been there? You can do it in your house or in your car or in the countryside. Amen. There's just a lot of places when you get to worshiping God with all of your heart and everything else is shut out. You sit in a heavenly place in Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Brother Love, ladies, sometimes we just need to go there, don't we? We get so weary here. Life gets so daily, so mundane, so grinding, sometimes so difficult and frustrating that we need an escape. And you're not going to find that that's lasting in a bottle, and you won't find it in a pill, and you won't find it in a powder, and you won't find it in a needle, but you'll find it in prayer and in worship with the Lord, and you can be caught into a heavenly place and receive the rest wherewith the weary are caused to rest. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. We get uptight about revival. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't. Have you ever walked through an orchard and heard trees groaning and crying and carrying on? No. They're just bearing fruit. They're just doing what they were created to do. And if we do what we're created to do, we'll bear fruit. When two people get married and you have a healthy father and a healthy mother, a fertile father and a fertile mother, and they have intimacy, they will have children. They will produce children. So if the church does not produce, it's not the father's fault. We know that he's fertile. We know that he's potent. He's omnipotent. Hallelujah. He has all power. So then if we're not producing, then what's the problem? It's got to be the mother. And who's the mother? The church. Who's the church? Us. So what are you saying, Brother Grissom? I'm saying when the church gets where the church needs to be, that revival is just a natural flow. Praise God. Did you hear what I said? Yes, sir. Amen. When the church gets where the church needs to be, revival is just a natural flow from the power of God. Amen. He flows mightily through His church. Amen. So then we have some things that we can do to help us get ready. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have to work on Johnny Grissom quite a bit. Amen. I have to work on his attitude. Let me read another verse for you tonight. And in the book of Hosea, the prophet, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. The scripture said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Everybody say myself. You know where revival is going to start in this church? With you and with me. And somebody said, if you want to start a revival, draw a circle, step into it, say, God, give me revival, and let it start right here. Yes, sir. Let it start with me. Now, here's the key. He said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. What do we mean by righteousness? The word righteousness is simply saying, you're right. How many like to be right tonight? Every one of you like to be right. There's not a person here that likes to be wrong. You ever had an argument? Why? Because you're right. Bless your heart. Amen, I'm right. Amen. You like to be right. And so when we're talking about righteousness, we're talking about being right with God, first of all, and then getting right with people. We're talking about having a right attitude. Praise God, a right attitude. A right attitude. Amen. Somebody said we need a checkup from the neck up. Amen. A lot of our problems are right here. Amen. Negativity can hinder revival. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may notice I don't talk a whole lot about numbers, because I'm not real worried about numbers. Because I know one thing, that when the church gets where it needs to be, that numbers will be in, they'll just be a natural outflow of what God wants to do. But if we get our eye on our numbers, you know, we used to talk about people that trying to get the Holy Ghost and they were hung up about tongues. I need to talk in tongues. And somebody said, well, it's like buying a pair of shoes. When you go buy a pair of shoes, you don't say, well, I want some shoes with tongues in them. You might now, but you know, it's kind of natural for most times. And so you just buy them, they got tongues, just come with it. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. You're not seeking tongues, you're just seeking the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes in and you yield to it and you let it flow, then the tongues are going to be a natural part of it. It's integral. Amen. You don't separate them. Revival's the same way. Praise God. Whenever we really get into the flow of the Holy Ghost and we learn how to shut everything out and quit worrying about things and just worship God and make worship our priority, amen, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to start having revival, and people are going to start coming, and folks are going to get the Holy Ghost, and people are going to get baptized. It's just a natural process. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we work on our attitudes. Amen. Praise God. Can't be negative. Can't be proud. Amen. Got to be humble. Got to have our motive right. What is the motive? Are we just trying to build a United Pentecostal Church? Hope not. That's not a good motive. Are we just trying to have a bigger church than somebody else? Yeah, are we just trying to have a larger number than the neighbor down the road? Amen. Are we just trying to increase our tithes and offerings? None of those are legitimate reasons for trying to increase your church. Amen. When our attitude is right and our motive is right. First of all, our motive is simply to exalt Jesus Christ, to lift Him up and to forget about ourselves and forget about everything else. And He's Lord of Lords and He's King of Kings and He's everything. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the right motive, that He's glorified. Amen. And secondarily, that souls can find Him in this place and in this presence. Amen. That's vital and that's important tonight. Amen. So that's what we're talking about, righteousness. Just get myself right with God. Hallelujah. That I can come into His presence with a clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. And a fixed and undivided mind. Amen. When it's time to worship, I don't have aught in my heart against anybody. I've been to a place and I've had a prayer meeting and my heart is clean before God and my spirit is right with God. Amen. I don't have any pride. I'm humbled before the Lord. Just simply getting right with God. So to yourself. Everybody say yourselves. Amen. Nobody can do that for me. I have to do it for myself. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do it for yourself. Amen. Brother Grisham, how do I do that? Paul had an excellent idea. He said, I die daily. He talked about crucifying his flesh. You can't be selfish and spiritual. You can't be selfish and really Christian. They're contrary one to the other. Jesus Christ was not selfish. He was selfless. He did not think about Himself. He thought about others and the will of God. And when we get to that place, then we will have revival. Then we will have revival. Amen. Praise God. Anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Does this make any sense to anybody? Amen. I hope so. Hallelujah. And then he said, reap in mercy. Amen. Anybody need mercy here tonight? Remember the lady that got the negatives back from her pictures and looked at them and the proofs, and she called a photographer, said, these things don't do me justice. He said, you don't need justice, you need mercy. You need mercy. That's our place, folks. We don't really need a lot of justice right now, but we need a lot of mercy right now. Hallelujah. So how do we reap in mercy? We're merciful. We're merciful. When you're merciful to other people, God is merciful to you. As a matter of fact, in the vital prayer that He taught us to pray, what part did He say? Forgive us this day as we forgive those that trespass against us. Amen, that right? How does God forgive? As we forgive. Amen. We forgive, He forgives. We hold a grudge, He holds a grudge. And He can do it better than you can. Amen. So, we reap in mercy because we sow in mercy. We give out a lot of mercy. Amen. Hey, holding a grudge is not worth it, folks. It just makes you miserable. And who wants to be miserable? I think some people have been unhappy for so long, they wouldn't know how to be happy. Amen. They've nursed an old dirty grudge and an old stinking grudge for so long. The first thing they do when they get up in the morning is make sure it's there. Amen. Every Sunday night after service, before you get up from the altar, make sure you pick up your grudge and take it with you. Oh boy, I'm really getting sneaky now. You better be careful, Brother Grissom. Amen. Praise God. Just forgive. Let go of it. And you'll reap in mercy. And then he says, break up fallow ground. Fallow ground is land that has been furrowed, but not seeded. Doesn't have any seed in it yet. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't have any seed in it yet. Amen. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But what we've got to, you know, you make some preparations for revival. We're already a long ways along that road. We have a nice building. We have air conditioning. We try to keep it nice. And that's everybody's job, by the way. That's not just Brother and Sister Ferguson's job. That's everybody's job. And if something needs picking up, pick it up. Oh, thank you. I saw two hands up. Good. Amen. This is my church. This is your church. Praise God. Something needs doing? Well, either do it or find somebody that can. If you can't do it, then find somebody that can do it, except for the pastor. He's doing all he can, and a little bit more. Amen. Some things I don't know how to do, but we've learned. Amen. Praise God. So it's everybody's job, isn't it? But we're making a place here. All in the world of building is, it's just a covering for a revival. That's all it is. If it's anything else, then it's out of order. If we're just trying to build some beautiful building and just trying to have some glorious facility that people can come in and ooh and ah all about, that's our motive's wrong. Okay, all we need is a covering to put, and when people get out of the rain, and where we can, in East Texas, we need a little air conditioning now and then. Amen. Praise God. We need a little shelter now and then. Praise God. And so we do that. And we're making some preparations. And we're trying to do some things to encourage. And that's all about getting your furrows in place. A place where the seed can be protected until it can grow. That also has to about getting our attitudes right, doesn't it? I'm not dare going to ask it. Please don't anybody raise your hand. Just raise your eyebrows. I can see that. Don't nobody look around. Amen. But has anybody ever been hurt in church? Isn't that sad? This ought to be the safest place in the entire world. I said this ought to be the safest place in the entire world. This ought to be the safest place in the entire world. We ought to be merciful to other people just like God's been merciful to us. We should be patient with other people as God has been patient with us. And that's what we're talking about. When you build, you know what the furrow is for? Because when you plant that seed, it's down in a little valley, isn't it? And when it first comes up, it's tender. It can't handle a lot of wind and a lot of outside forces against it. It needs to get some roots first. It needs to get some strength. Amen. And when people first come in the church and they're babes in Christ, they need to get some roots down. And the church needs to cover them and protect them and shelter them so that they can get some nutrients and they can begin to grow and begin to press up and begin to make their way. They'll be strong one day. They'll be protected. They'll be beautiful and productive one day. But you got to just give them a little time to get out of the soil. We have to be very careful. Very careful. Amen. Because we want to have some good furrows in place. So that when the storms come, they're going to be protected. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you the very best way to do that. You go out and you win somebody personally yourself. You know, it's easier to talk to somebody else's converts harshly. But no better talk to yours harshly. It's easy to talk to somebody else's kid harshly. Woo, but you talk to mine like that, you're on fighting ground, right? Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Every parent in the house, you ought to be shaking your head just like this right here, because you know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so we got to be real careful how we talk to new converts. Amen. And if you're having a problem, just go win a few. You'll get real protective. Amen. You'll get around them and you'll protect them. And that's what you ought to do. As a matter of fact, we're gonna have some teaching on that real soon. And Cherie's going to help us get some care groups started. Amen. So that we can... Well, now, what is that, Brother Grissom? That's just building some more furrows. That's just making a place when God begins to give us a harvest. You know what? What in the world was... Can you imagine if you walked out on your porch one day and there was 25 new babies out there? Woo! You think that would change your life? You talk about getting in gear. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Amen. Hey, God, we want 100 soul revival. Really? Can we handle that right now? I hope we'll see the day we can and more. But could we really handle that right now? You know, God is wise enough. He's not going to send somebody simply to be aborted or neglected. Amen. But he's going to, whenever we get everything in place, then he says, all right, these folks, they act like they're wanting revival down there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And then he said, for it is time to seek the Lord. Everybody say, seek the Lord. How long? Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel it falling down on me. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel it falling down on me. It's the former and the latter rain together. I'm not talking about the weather. It's the Holy Ghost rain and it's falling down on me. That's what we want, folks. We want the rain tonight. Hallelujah. I think we're getting a little of it. How about you? What? I thought Sunday was a glorious day. And a week ago was a glorious Sunday. And the week before that was a glorious Sunday. Amen. Hey, folks, we're starting to get wet around here. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to soak it up. When you walk out of church Sunday night, you ought to be so full of blessing, everybody you bump into gets wet. Like a big old sopping sponge. Hallelujah. Hey, man, this stuff's contagious. If we'll not be full of self, and not be full of pride, and not be full of problems, and not be full of doubt, and not be full of worry, but just be full of the Holy Ghost, it's contagious. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. In city, so seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. That one more verse tonight. I'm going to the book of Isaiah chapter 62 and verse number 10. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture said, go through the gates. Amen. Now what he's saying there, once the church is prepared, then he said, maybe you've seen this, perhaps you have somewhere. I've seen signs over the door and in the parking lot as you're leaving. It says you are entering the mission field. And that's what this is saying. When you leave this building, you are entering the mission field. You are entering the harvest. That's where it is. The harvest is not here. The harvest is out there. You have already been harvested. Hopefully the reason we're here tonight, and if God will help us, we'll be able to feed you and encourage you and strengthen you and instruct you. That's what preaching's all about. Somebody said that preaching is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Does it fit? Which camp are you in? Amen. You'll get it one way or the other. Praise God. Amen. But we come here to be fed. That's what our gathering is about. Amen. You know what I'd love to see? I don't know how they did in Bible times. I wish I knew more about it, but the Bible just doesn't declare everything about what happened. Amen. But I got a feeling that there were more people that received the Holy Ghost outside the church than there were that got the Holy Ghost in the church. Uh-huh. You know why I believe that? Because they didn't have any church buildings. They didn't even have a church building. So they had to get it outside the church. And then they would gather in people's houses or any place they could just get together. Down by the seashore. Amen. Out in the cow pasture somewhere, they'd just get together and they'd teach and they'd sing and they'd worship and they would receive the Word of God. Amen. And that was how the church grew, and that's how people were discipled, and that's how people were taught. But actual evangelism took place many other places. Would it be okay for somebody to get the Holy Ghost at your coffee table for an altar? Would it be all right for somebody to get the Holy Ghost in your living room? And without the pastor even being there, would that be okay? Well, what if you just did it? And what if you just taught them a Bible study and you got the move and they said, wow, I'd like to have that. And then you'd say, well, come to church with me Sunday morning. No, 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 no. So you can have it right now. Right here. Woo! You talk about building somebody's faith. Brother Grissom, that's kind of radical. No, that's Pentecostal. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. That's what they did in the first church. That's what the apostolic church did. We have followed in the footsteps of other churches. Now, I like altars, and we'll have altars, because I think altars are a good thing, but they're not necessarily, these altars are not necessarily a biblical thing. Boy, that got quiet, didn't it? Amen. You know where our altars come from as a Pentecostal church? They came out of the Methodist church. And the Methodist church called them mourners' benches. Amen. These are not mourners' benches. No, these are not mourners' benches. This is actually down here. I think of this kind of as a surgery room. This is an operating room down here. Anybody ever had heart surgery down here? Anybody ever had your attitude taken out and repaired and put back in? But like the little boy come home, he said, my friend Jimmy had surgery. He said, really? He said, what did he have? He said, he had his opinion taken out. Anybody ever had your opinion taken out? This is an operating room down here. It's not necessarily mourning. I've seen people shout down here. Amen. I've seen people jump up and down and talk in tongues and laugh and carry on. Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't care who heard them. Didn't care what was going on around them. There was joy in this place. I'm not talking about mourners' benches. Amen. Praise God. But that's where altars come from as far as in our church culture today as we know it. Amen. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm just saying, folks, that we need to just... I want to take this out. Go through the gates. And you know what's going to happen? When we get where God really wants us to be, we won't even have to ask you to do that. It'll just be so natural. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we won't have to ask anybody to teach Bible studies. You'll just be wanting to teach Bible studies. Somebody took some Bible studies a while back. How many Bible studies you taught? I'm not looking. Just asking. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, let's go through the gates. Amen. And then he said, prepare the way of the people. And then look a little bit further down. Notice he says this. He says, gather out the stones. And what are the stones? There are some things that keep people from coming to church. I'm going to tell you, folks today are scared to come to church. There are people that are afraid to go to church. There are people who have been hurt in church. There are people that have heard all kinds of weird stuff about us. In the old days, anybody remember those, you'd put some insecticide in these little cans, and then you'd pump it. Anybody remember that spray? Remember those things? Now, we used to have arbors and tent meetings and outside meetings, and so they would get that stuff, and before the service started, they'd spray that all around so that the mosquitoes wouldn't be eating people alive during service. And you know what people said about that? They said, you don't want to go down to that Pentecostal meeting because they'll spray that stuff on you and you'll start acting like they do. If that were true, I would get the most powerful pump I could find, and I'd drive up and down the streets, and I'd spray everybody I could find. But it just doesn't work that way. You can't spray this on somebody. Amen. But you can pray this on somebody. Amen. Praise God. So there are things that can get in the way. Amen. There are hindrances. And our job is to get the hindrances out of the way. Amen. We need to do a real serious inspection. Is there anything, Lord, that would hinder anybody from coming to God here? Is there anything that is a hindrance? If it is, let's set it by the way. Let's set it by the way. Let's get rid of it. Gather out the stones. And then he said, cast up the highway. In other words, he's saying, make it easy to get in. Amen. Some churches are hard to break into in Fort Knox. You just can't hardly get in. It's a closed society. People are afraid that you'll take their seat. People are afraid that you'll take their job. There'll always be plenty of jobs. There's people that are afraid you'll take their position. There's people that are afraid of all kinds of things. And so some churches are just hard to get into. Amen. Praise God. Some churches only accept certain kinds of people. And certain colors of people. And certain languages of people. And certain cultures of people. But the Church of Jesus Christ accepts everybody. The Church of Jesus Christ is for whosoever will. The Revival Church is for anybody. And they make it easy to get in. And they make it easy to get in. Because they cast up a highway. And they make it easy to enter. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about preparing for revival here tonight. Amen. And then he says, lift up a standard. I'm closing. Lift up a standard for the people. Now a standard was a flag or a banner that they used to have. There were 12 tribes in Israel. Remember that? And each one of those tribes had a standard or a flag that identified their particular tribe or family. Amen. And so he says, lift up a standard for the people. Now, what kind of standard are we going to do? Have you ever driven by a field that was plowed and it was just so straight? My goodness, you just thought, how in the world could they get something so straight? Well, the guy that does, he's called the row setter. Because after that one, if that one's straight, then you can get the other straight. But if that one's crooked, they're all going to be crooked. So the church is to be the row setter. Amen. Praise God. The church sets the row, and he sets it straight. So that other people, when they get there, they're going to also be able to be straight. Amen. Praise God. And so that's very vital. So here's a couple of things I want to talk about in closing tonight. First of all, what kind of worship do we want people to have when they get here? What kind of worship would we like for people to have when they get here? Then that's the kind of worship we've got to have. That's the kind of worship we have to do because we're the row setter. I've heard people make a statement, you know, man, I just felt like really getting up and shouting, but nobody else would. Well, then get up and shout, honey. Do it. Amen. And what kind of church do you want? As far as prayer, what kind of a church would you really like for people to find when they get here? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. He's saying that you lift up a standard for the people. Because you know what? They're going to do just what you do. So if you sit like a knot on a pickle, they're going to sit like a knot on a pickle. I have seen this with my very own eyes. I have been in services, and you could tell that those people were there for the very first time because they looked scared out of their wits. And they'd get connected to some new convert. And you know how new converts are. They bring them right down to the front pew. And they're sitting there, you know, and they look scared to death. And all of a sudden the service starts. And that new convert jumps up. Then he starts clapping his hands and moving. And they're looking at him. And next thing they know, they're standing up. They don't know what they're doing, but they're moving, clapping their hands. Have any idea why they're doing it? They're doing it because he's doing it. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? If he just sat there, that's what they'd do. So what are we talking about? Lift up a standard. What kind of church do you want? That's the kind of church you start having right now. That's the kind of church you start having right now. Amen. You set the standard of what's going to happen here. Amen. Praise God. What kind of preacher do you want? Well, this is one you're stuck with. Somebody said, if you don't like your pastor, get with him and you'll preach him to death. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we that's what we're talking about. How friendly a church do you want? That you got to start being just as friendly as you want to be. I'm not saying anything's negative here tonight. Understand? I'm not casting stones at anybody. I'm just saying whatever we want, the kind of church we want, that's the kind of church we just be. Just be that kind of church. I mean, don't wait. So, you know, soon as somebody else, don't look at somebody else. You started. Praise God. You started. Amen. But you know, Brother Grissom, we've sang those old songs so many times, and we're going to sing them again. Every now and then we're going to add a new one. Somebody said, oh, no, not new songs. I don't like those songs, off-the-wall songs. That's why they are. They're off the wall. And so I don't like those kind of songs. Well, get used to it. Amen. You know what? We got to feed everybody. We're not going to let go of the old, but we are going to include the new. Praise God. Is that all right? Amen. I don't like to go to churches either where they sing that everything's new and I don't know a thing in the world they're singing. I just sit there and kind of, oh, that's nice, but I don't know what you're saying. Amen. As you get a little older, your hearing's not as cute as it used to be. Oh, is it acute? I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about having revival tonight. Let's stand together. Amen. So we lift up a standard and we become the church that we want other people to find. That just doesn't come automatically. First of all, it comes through doing what? Sowing to yourselves and righteousness. You know, it's a whole lot easier to worship after you visit the prayer room before service. Let me say that one more time. It's a whole lot easier to worship after you have visited the prayer room and talked to God before service begins. You're already in tune. Your heart's already humming. You're already have found the channel, amen, where you can move in the Holy Ghost. You're already there. Amen. Then when you step into a service, you're ready to go. Praise God. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be wonderful if these prayer rooms were just full before service and people were shouting and just having church already? Amen. Has it ever been like that? Then let's do it again. Amen. Praise God. If it was like that then, why isn't it like that now? What changed? Sowing to yourselves in righteousness. Sowing to yourselves in righteousness. We can have, folks, the kind of church we want to have, the kind of church we know that we need, and let's just start doing it because we're the church. Amen. Praise God. And we're preparing for revival. Hallelujah. Shall we right now lift our hands to the Lord? Amen. Jesus Christ, I thank you for revival. I want to be a part of this. Hallelujah. You're able, O God, to send such an outflow of the Holy Ghost from this place. Praise God. Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My, 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 my. Praise God. We read about the vision of Ezekiel. You remember Ezekiel, the Lord told him, he said, look at the temple. And he measured some things. And then the Lord said, he said, now you'll go out 1,000 cubits. So he walked out 1,000 cubits. And you know what? There was water flowing out from under the house of God. Everybody say it's flowing out of the house of God. Do you believe that can still happen? I'm not talking about water. Hope we don't have any water flowing out. That means he's got a broke pipe. But I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And he went out there and he said, why? I said, it's up to my ankles. And he said, well, step on out 1,000 cubits. He did. And he said, it's up to my waist. And then he said, step out 1,000 cubits. He said, my, it's up to my chest. And then he said, hey, I just can't handle it. And he just took off swimming. And the scripture says that everything the water touched, it lived. There was healing and there was life in that overflow. God, give us that kind of an overflow from the house of God, that the further you get away from it, the deeper it gets. Hallelujah. And not only that, but it heals and gives life to everything that it touches. Amen. Praise God. But it starts here, you see. It starts here. Amen. Praise God. I believe that tonight. How about you? Anybody believe that tonight? Amen. You know, so of course, that I'm in this church, this glorious church. You know that one? Amen. I'm in this... And that's a little high there. I need a ladder for that one. Amen. This glorious...